Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Continuing now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we are looking at four additional qualities that please God. As you recall, the chapter opened with a general exhortation to godly living, and then spent several verses talking about sexual purity. Apparently, that is one of the most difficult ones, one of the most challenging ones, for God's people to get right. In that day, certainly, as so many of them were Gentiles saved out of pagan idolatry with its lascivious religious practices, not to mention the general practices of society. And so it was something they had to break away from, and did because they were Christians, and wanted to because the Holy Spirit indwelt them, and because the Word of God had taught them, Paul had taught them God's Word. But nevertheless, that doesn't remove all of the desires of the flesh and all of the wrestlings that sometimes accompany these kinds of desires. And so the first area for pleasing God in the way you live day to day as a Christian is to live in sexual purity. And we spent several broadcasts talking about that one. But then Paul goes on to list four more qualities. And number two is brotherly love. We're not surprised at that, but verse 9, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Well, there are several helpful things that Paul says here in the area of brotherly love, helpful to them and helpful to us as well. So we'll look at them in just a moment. Thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, September 17, and many thanks for your consideration of our financial needs. Well, what do we learn about brotherly love in these two verses, verses 9 and 10 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4? We learn, and we talked about this one on the broadcast yesterday, that brotherly love is an essential component of the Christian life. That is clear from this text. That's clear from some other texts that I cited on the broadcast yesterday. But number two, we learn that brotherly love is a God-implanted desire. That's the last part of verse 9. Verse 9 again says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. I have no need to write to you, but he does. That's very typical of the Apostle Paul. He often says things like that. I don't need to say this, but he goes ahead and says it. I don't need to write to you, but he goes ahead and writes to them. It's a very kind way of saying, yes, I know you know this, and yes, I assume that you're probably practicing this, but I'm going to mention it anyway. Because Paul knows that we need reminders. Paul knows that we need fresh promptings. We all do. They did. We do. Paul knows that some of them were not practicing brotherly love, at least to the extent that they needed to. In fact, I think it would be honest to say that none of us are practicing brotherly love to the fullest extent possible. It's an area where we can and should continue to grow as long as we are living in this world as Christians. So, of course, even though you already know this, you've been taught of God to do it, it is a God-implanted desire, nevertheless, we need these kinds of reminders. And so even though there's no need to write to you, because the Holy Spirit would prompt you to do this even if I didn't write, I've taught you this before, and you have been taught by God, which is to tell us that loving our brothers in Christ is an integral component of the new birth. It is an inevitable result of regeneration. And therefore, because it is, because all God's true children have been taught by God to love one another, therefore it becomes a very good evidence of the new birth, a good way to test ourselves to see if in fact we are in the faith, which we are told several times to do exactly that, to examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith, to test our faith to be sure that it's not a mere outward profession, but an inward reality. And how do you know? Some people say, well, because of a feeling that I've had. How do you know? Well, because I did this. I walked an aisle. I prayed a prayer. I knelt on an altar. I met with a personal worker in an inquiry room. I prayed with my mother. Whatever. You know, you can add so many other things to that list. And many people look to that. That's how I know that I'm a true child of God. But how do you know that the prayer you prayed was a prayer of genuine saving faith? How do you know that the prayer you prayed was a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart? How do you know that whatever it was you did as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit of God? Because God was working in your heart, you did any of those things that I've mentioned, because, properly understood, those will only be, if they're connected with true salvation, those will only be a result of, not the cause of, salvation. I hope you understand that. And that's why it is important for us to look for evidence. Evidence that the Holy Spirit has done this. The Holy Spirit has done a work in my heart. The Holy Spirit has regenerated me. The Holy Spirit has birthed me into the family of God. And all of these things that I have done that I look to as evidence of my salvation must be understood as the result of what the Holy Spirit did first, and love, brotherly love, is one of these things. If the Holy Spirit has birthed you into the family of God, you will have a love for the brethren. Isn't that what this is saying in verse 9? But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for, this explains why, that it's not absolutely necessary for him to write this to them, although it's helpful, but there's no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. How can Paul be sure? Because he knows that all true born-again believers have been taught by God to love one another. Therefore, we look for that evidence. If I don't show much evidence of loving other believers, then I'm not showing much convincing evidence that I have truly been born again, because born-again believers have been taught of God to love one another. Born-again believers have been enabled by the Holy Spirit of God to love one another. That's because all true born-again believers have been given a desire by the Holy Spirit to love one another, which means, let's get down to brass tacks on this, it means that you will desire to be with one another. Don't tell me that you love the brethren, but you don't have a desire to be with them in the regular assembly of the saints. Now, I'm talking to some of you who have excused yourself from attending church, being regular with the people of God, in spite of the fact that the Bible tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together with other believers. Nevertheless, there are people who say, I am a child of God, but And what follows the but is a very important matter. If the but is, I used to go, I love to go, but I'm no longer able to go, I'm physically removed from the possibility of going. I truly have what we sometimes call providential circumstances or providential hindrances that make it impossible for me to go. I want to be there. I long to be there, but I just physically cannot be there. There are people in that category, and you're not the ones I'm talking to right now. But there are other things that follow that but. I am a true child of God, but I don't go to church because somebody hurt my feelings, so I don't go anymore. Churches aren't everything they ought to be, so I don't go anymore. It's more convenient to stay at home and do other things. I watch it. I watch it on television or I watch it on live stream. It's not that I'm completely neglecting this, but here's the point. You may have a desire or seem to have a desire to hear the Word of God and to stay in touch with a church congregation, but you don't seem to have any desire, don't seem to have any need, don't seem to have any compulsion, don't seem to have any Holy Spirit wrought compulsion to be with the people of God, and yet you say you do love God and you do love the people of God. That's mighty strange. It's similar to people who say, I love God, but I don't pray. You don't talk to Him. I love God, but I don't read His Word. So you don't seek out God talking to you. God's Word is God talking to you. Prayer is you talking to God. So you love Him, but you don't have any desire to commune with Him. You don't have any desire to hear from Him. You don't have any desire to communicate with Him. If in a husband-wife relationship or a romantic relationship you said something like that, I love you, honey, but I don't want to be around you. I love you, honey, but we just don't need to get together. I love you, honey, but I don't really enjoy talking to you. I love you, honey, but I don't really enjoy being in your presence. Don't you think that person or anyone else who was aware of the situation would have every reason and right to say, your profession of love is extremely suspicious, it's extremely questionable. I hear you say it, but your actions demonstrate the opposite. The old saying, your actions speak so loud, I can't hear what you say. And the same thing is true here. You say you've been born again, and therefore have a love for the brethren, but you don't have any desire to be with them. You don't feel any need for that. You don't have any desire to interact with them. You don't have any desire to fellowship with them. You don't have any desire to talk with them. You don't have any desire to be with them. Mighty suspicious. Your actions speak so loud. I can't hear what you say when you say, but I am a Christian. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. How do you show your God-given love for the brethren? That's a good question to ask. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.